Good morning, everyone. Today, we're finishing the series on living the new life in the third chapter of Colossians. I hope you've got as much out of this as I have. That's one thing I've always enjoyed about teaching is it forces me to dig. And I learn as I teach. And I think it's good for us to go over things more than once, bring things to our remembrance, to stay in the Word. I don't like talking about current events and stuff as much as I like talking about the Word. Today's subject isn't a popular one in some circles. Paul is talking about Christian family. You know, the way we conduct our family reflects on the Lord if we're professed Christians. And that's what he's going to talk about today is the Christian family, mom and dad and the kids. And I hope that this message will bless you. Father, I thank you for those who have come out tonight, this morning, and Lord, I just pray that you will take this word to our hearts. Help us to take this seriously and to understand that what we do reflects on you. I just ask a blessing on everyone who's here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. As I said, in some circles, this hasn't been very popular, but here we go. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done, for God has no favorites. As I said, he's been talking about the new life of the believer in Christ. He talked about our responsibility to put off the old person, the person we were before we came to Christ, and to put on the new person. He reminds us that we've been uprooted from the kingdom of darkness and transplanted into the kingdom of God. God wishes to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ, and we're to work with him to that end. We're to allow that. And I understand that molding is not painless. When God wishes to reshape us, there's things that we hang on to in our hearts, in our minds, and the Lord wants to reshape us. He wants to transform us. He wants to change the way we think. He wants to change our attitudes. And that's not always pleasant when the Lord does that. I've been taken to the spiritual woodshed more than once about an attitude that I have, or maybe shooting off my mouth when I should have kept quiet. And God does this because of his love for us. We are called his children. You remember a week or so back I mentioned that in Ephesus, Paul said we are to imitate God as his dear children. That's what he wants from us. Today he's talking about family relationship. The life of a Christian is a life of submission. First and foremost, submission to God. Then submission to one another. You remember when Jesus was asked the greatest commandments in the law? He said there were two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that includes your spouse. I heard a preacher say one time that if your wife is a Christian, she's God's daughter. And how do you think God wants you to treat his daughter? And ladies, if your husband is a Christian, he's God's son. How do you think the Heavenly Father wants you to treat his son? And these are things we need to keep in the forefront of our mind. Now, in this days of women's lib and feminism and all the other isms out there, submission is not a popular subject. We think of submission as a weakness, is being held under somebody's thumb, but it's not. Paul said, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Ladies, when you belong to the Lord, you're no longer of this world. And the world ideologies should not be yours. The world ideas. Now, over the years, it's never failed when I bring a message like this. There's usually some woman will come to me and say, well, if my husband's abusive, am I supposed to submit to that? My answer is no. I told one lady, respond in love. Pick up a 10-inch cast iron skillet, lovingly hit him between the eyes and say, honey, I'm not putting up with that anymore. No, God does not expect you to be beat. But when he's talking about submission here, when Paul talks about it, this didn't originate with Paul. Peter talked about it. This didn't originate with Peter. We read that in the garden when the fall happened, when Adam and Eve's eyes were open and they knew the difference between good and evil, God said to Eve, I will sharpen your pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. That's where feminism was born, church. It didn't happen in the 60s. It happened all the way back in Eden. God knew because sin and death entered the world, there was going to be a jockeying for position. And God plainly said to the woman, you're going to want to rule, but he's going to rule. And I know that goes crossways with some people. Why does anybody have to rule? When I finished my orientation time on the ambulance and started going out into the field with a medic, one of the first things I was told is somebody has to be in control. Somebody has to be in charge. When we show up on a chaotic scene, people are going to look to you and say, what do we need to do? And he said, you can't be afraid to assume control of a scene. And I found it was true. Now, gentlemen, this doesn't mean that we're supposed to have the me Tarzan, you Jane attitude with our wives. I don't know how that works for you, but it never has worked for me. Paul said, submit to your husbands. Peter said the same thing in his epistle. He said, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. That's a God-given authority, ladies, like it or not. If you got an issue with it, take it up with God. All right? He says, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. So, in Peter's epistle, he talked about the submission of a wife to her husband in order to win him over. I've talked to different women over the years that are married to a non-Christian man. And if they ask my advice, this is the advice I give them, because this is the advice that the Word gives. Be a godly woman. If he doesn't want to hear the Word, if he doesn't want to hear you talk about the Lord, Don't talk about the Lord. Live the Lord. Be that woman God's called you to be. Peter said you may win him over. And remember that what we're talking about, Paul says you belong to the Lord, ladies. So act like it. Jesus said, if you and I are not willing to submit to his authority, we're not worthy of him. Jesus said, if you and I are not willing to carry our cross, we're not worthy of him. Jesus submitted himself to the Father's will when he came to the earth. It was God's will to crush him. It was God's will for him to die on that cross and pour his blood out so you and I could be reconciled. As Greg mentioned this morning, have a peace with him. And Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you have to submit to me. So see, we're all under submission. It's not just in a married relationship, it's in the church. Paul said to the church, submit to the elders. The elders are to submit to Christ. So see, Christianity is about submission. It's not about an ego trip. It's not about us being proud and haughty. I remember a wedding I attended and I overheard the mother of the bride talking to some other women and said, I told my daughter to tell that preacher not to use that honor and obey in the vows. She said, I don't obey any man. And I thought, yeah, and you're on what, like your third marriage now? There's no place for that. This woman's a professed Christian. That's a haughty spirit. I've seen women over the years try to manipulate their husbands. And I'm not trying to find fault with you women, but I've seen it. Especially if their husbands are leaders in the church. They will try to manipulate them to get their way. Ladies, that's unbecoming a daughter of God. That's unbecoming a woman who claims to belong to Jesus Christ. You're breaking the scriptures. You're breaking the command of the Lord. Submit to the authority of your husbands. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Oof. Sometimes you want to be harsh, but harsh never gets you anywhere. Gets to get you the silent treatment. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul goes into a little more detail on these commands. He said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's the reason we're to submit. Because we belong to Christ and because we respect the Lord. And this is what he wants us to do. Says, wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. There again, Paul pulls the focus back to the Lord. Now, a lot of people I have heard accuse Paul of not liking women. Well, Paul just wanted to dominate women. He didn't even like women, which I don't know how they come to that conclusion because they didn't know the guy. But Paul says, submit as you would to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. That's a big order, gentlemen. When you think of how Christ loved the church, the word says we're to love our wives the same way. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. Gentlemen, Our responsibility as husbands is to be the spiritual leader of the church, of the home. And we are to oversee the spiritual education of our children and our wives. It's an unselfish love. That's a big order. I remember a lady told me once that her husband was fond of saying, "The Bible says you got to submit to my authority." And she said, "It also says you got to love me like Christ loved the church." And he'd say, "Don't preach at me." Yeah. Husbands, we have a big responsibility. Fathers, we are responsible for the spiritual upbringing of our children. We're responsible to watch after our wives. We're responsible to set the example to our wives. We're responsible as the spiritual leaders of the house to set the standard. Now, I understand something, ladies. Respect is something that's earned. I believe that anyway. Gentlemen, you need to be the kind of man your wife can respect. You shouldn't have to demand respect. She should respect you, because you're the kind of man that deserves that respect. It doesn't come in a package deal. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. You don't always agree with everything mom or dad says, but what's God say? You obey them. You do what you're supposed to do. Young people, when you refuse to obey your parents, this not only displeases your parents, this displeases God. Remember where Paul's focus is being. To the Lord, as to the Lord, because you serve the Lord, because the Lord is your master. So he said, children, you must obey your parents. And I've had young people say, if my parents ask me to do something illegal or immoral, am I supposed to obey them? No. If it goes against the word of God, I would say no. But otherwise, young people, you should obey your parents. You should show them respect. If they tell you not to do something, you shouldn't do it. If they ask you to do something, you should. You shouldn't mouth off to them. Shouldn't argue with them. Because Paul said this displeases the Lord. He says the children belong to the Lord. And this is how the Lord wants the children to react to their parents. He said, fathers, don't aggravate your children or they will become discouraged. When I think about that, I think one way that many times as parents we aggravate our children is we set unrealistic goals. They come home with B's on the report card and we want to know why they're not A's. Newsflash, mom and dad, not every kid's born to be a rocket scientist. And you can set unrealistic goals for your young people. You can discourage them and frustrate them. They feel that I'm never good enough. I can't please you. Paul said, don't do that. Now, some people think by making their children behave, they're aggravating their children so they don't make them behave. That's a totally different subject. God put a lot of nerve endings in the gluteus maximus. And that's a good way to get a kid's attention. A couple swats on the behind doesn't hurt anybody. But when he says not to aggravate your children, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying don't frustrate them. Don't set the standards too high for your child. Be pleased with them. Be pleased with their accomplishments. Don't push them too hard. Don't give them one set of rules and you follow another. That's very frustrating. My dad was fond of saying to me, don't do as I do as I say. Well, I remember growing up that I thought, well, if it's so wrong what you do, then how come I can't do it? I saw a hypocrisy in that. Mom and dads, you need to set the example of what it means to follow Christ. Your children's concept of God is going to come from watching you. Your professed belief in Jesus Christ, you're professing to be a follower of Christ. They're going to look to you for the example. Well, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to watch mom and dad. Paul talks about the slave-master relationship. Now, that has a negative picture in our minds, but another way to look at this is employee-employer relationship, if you'll look at it that way. Christian employees ought to be the most reliable employees that anybody has. They should be honest. They should be on time. They shouldn't be lazy. They ought to put out the kind of work that they're expected to for the wage they're making. They ought to be trustworthy. Paul said to the servants, don't do it when your master's looking. You ever work with people like that? If the boss is around, boy, they got their nose to the grindstone, but when the boss isn't there, they slough off and they goof off. Paul said, don't do that. Why? Because you represent the Lord. I remember a job I was working, and they kept putting more work on me. I was in a hotel kitchen, and I was doing it, but I was complaining to myself one day, how come I'm getting this extra work? And the thought came into my mind, did not you agree to a penny a day? Jesus talking about the laborers in the vineyard. And I said, in other words, God, shut up and do my job. Well, later the chief administrator of the hotel came to me and he said, I know you think we put a lot of work on you, but he said, you're a reliable person. And we know when we ask you to do something, you're going to do it. And we don't have to follow you around, see if you do your job. I kept it in the front of my mind. I'm not boasting about myself. But I kept it in the front of my mind, I'm a Christian. And the Bible says I am to do my job as though I'm working for the Lord, not for people. I worked in a stave mill once, and there was a minister worked there, and one of the men commented one time how good a worker he was. He said some of the laziest men I've ever met are preachers and Christians. Church, that shouldn't be. We ought to be the most industrious, reliable employees an employer can have. They ought to be able to assign us things to do and not have to follow us around to see if we're going to do it. We need to be people of integrity. People that they can trust. Paul said, remember, your master is Christ. That's the one whom we are serving. We'll be rewarded for this. For being the kind of people that God's asked us to be. Refusal to submit to the Lord, to each other, is called rebellion. And the proverb says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's in God's eyes. I don't think any of us, hopefully, would openly or secretly try to practice witchcraft. But God said, that's the way I see it. When we think of sins, we think of the big sins. We got the big list, you know, and these are the worst sins. But God calls sin, sin. He doesn't have a top 10 list. And he said refusal to submit, rebellion, to me, God says to me, it's just like witchcraft. Well, you don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want to be guilty of that. Is it easy to submit to other people? No. Especially people that grate your nerves. I was watching a show yesterday on the book of Matthew. And it was going chapter by verse, and the Sermon on the Mount. I was listening to the Sermon on the Mount, and I thought, wow, I forget that Jesus said those things sometimes. Pray for those who misuse you. Pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. Are you kidding me? Love my enemies? And yet when he hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. After they had beat him raw and nailed him to a tree, he was actually able to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Nowhere have I read in scriptures where submission is easy. We all have an ego. We all have pride. And we live in a world today that dog eat dog. They don't believe in submission. Paul said to do good to everyone, especially to those of the family of faith. The Christian life is a life of submission. First and foremost to God, and then we're to submit to one another out of our reverence for God. Would you stand with me this morning? This isn't a popular subject. I've caught flack for it over the years by some, and I expect that. We think that submission is weakness, but it's not weakness, but it's meekness. We're to meekly receive the word. We are the light and the salt. We are to live the examples of what we believe. We do that by submission. Doesn't say it's easy, but it's necessary.